Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. One of the things that I wouldn't say I prided myself on it because that just sounds stupid. But one of the things I really care about is showing up as the person that I am, no matter where I am, and that I am me here and I am me somewhere else. But I also think that I came there because I didn't want my kids to see that I behaved differently in different places. And having been a single parent my entire adult life, you just kind of have no choice. You were either this or you were that. And I kind of chose this, which means that when you're speaking in terms of authenticity, you're speaking in terms of vulnerability. I almost don't quite know what that means. I know people find it effective. And I don't know how to, what am I trying to say to you guys? I don't know how to name it because I know how to do it. And I've never had to think how you do it, so I don't know how to name it. My guest is nodding like mad here because she is here to explain all this crap because she's going to help us understand and unpack this stuff so we get it better. So I've never quite understood how you explain it. I've only ever thought that if I can only be one version, this is the version I'm going to be. But I do think that many of us struggle to do that because it's really terrifying. I have to say a lifetime of doing this in the public eye, and it still scares me. I still worry what it is that I'm going to say that's going to get, you know, me canceled and hung, drawn and quartered. So it's an issue. So Chrissy very kindly agreed to come on today to have a conversation with me about this, because for her, she experienced, I love that she calls it executive dysfunction. I've got no idea what the heck that means, but we're about to find out. Chrissy, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, Gita, I'm so excited for this conversation. We're going to get into all the things that you talked about.
Right? Because I really need explanations for what they are, because I know that there's things that you can say that touch people, but I've never been able to dissect it. Whereas you've kind of made a dissection, which you're, you know, going to explain to me. So executive dysfunction, what the heck?
Yes. So in the fall of 2018, I was just about to turn 30, and everything kind of turned on its head. Like my memory was failing. I couldn't focus on anything. My husband would tell me, like, add this to the grocery list. And literally 2 minutes later, I was like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we doing? And at the time I worked in hotel revenue management, where my whole life was numbers and strategy and 15,000 different things going on at once. And I started to make mistakes at work. But being a very ambitious, like, go, 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 there's only one path, right? Right? Being a very ambitious woman where there's only one thing that you can do, or so I thought, I just kept ignoring it and kept pushing. And then finally, the kind of breaking point for me was I had dropped my dogs off at daycare because I'm that dog mom, and was pulled over for doing 65 in a 30 mile an hour zone. So almost double the speed limit, right? And I had no idea what I was doing. Like, it just, I had completely zoned out, didn't realize I was going that fast at all. Super nice policeman. He's like, something's going on with you, right? Super nice. And ended up going and getting a bunch of blood work done, taking 3 months off of work. And for the first time in my life, started to dig into who I was. Because I wasn't who I wanted to be. I had been living this life of, everybody keeps telling me I have to be this, or everyone kept telling me, like, oh, you're so ambitious and you're so aggressive and you're so assertive.
Like,
so
it's such a good thing. Keep doing it.
Exactly. Without actually asking myself, am I that way? Or am I that way because I'm trying to be what everyone thinks I am?
Or are you even, may I give you a third version? Are you even just a woman that knows what she wants and somehow will give her all these outrageous labels? Like, what I like particularly is when you're just a little too much. Intense. I remember once a woman saying to me, do you have to be so clever all the time? I was like, no, it's something I switch off on Sunday at 5 o'clock. What? Yes. What do you mean?
There is no, like, I don't dim it down. Like, what? Yeah.
Well, that was it. Why don't you dim it down?
Exactly. And those 3 months off were honestly some of the hardest because it was a whole identity shift, whole digging into things that I had spent.
Well, good for you that you did that work, huh?
It completely changed my life. I'm a completely different version of myself. Like, I'm actually myself now. I'm actually showing up, like you said, as who I am. And it's a very genuine, if you like it, awesome. If you don't, awesome. I don't care.
Your opinion of me is none of my business.
Correct.
I'm British. I'm a bit more blunt than you lot are, but that's what you were trying to say. Tell me the truth.
Absolutely. I really don't care what you think of me. I like who I am.
See, I like that. Now, let's break this stuff down, because I know that you are this amazing business strategist and coach, but I've literally got you here just to answer my questions for me.
Yep.
Ultimately, let me look at you a little bit. Like, your CV is phenomenal. You help women owners of service-based businesses that want to build, scale, and operate their businesses through a human-first approach. You've got 12 years of management in economics. You've got degrees in economics, finance, and business. You're just terrifyingly bright. And all this stuff. So what I was trying... I do a lot of social media as part of my job because I spend time on TV or in papers, not so many newspapers because post-pandemic, but definitely TV and definitely videos on social media. And one of the things that I found really interesting is TikTok has never been a problem for me. I have a biggish audience on TikTok, which we don't tell the children about, by the way, so just lie about it because they don't like that. They think it's a bit embarrassing. And on Instagram, I remember nothing ever happened to my Instagram. And it would just sit there at, 4,000 odd people and just, you know, enough not to be embarrassing because you know how social media is. And I made a video where I said, you know, when I left my husband with my 3 small kids, we ended up homeless. And I had a whole conversation about being homeless and what it felt like and what happened and everything. And this video went mad and got 400 and something thousand views, and it's still growing. And I was really taken aback. And I was taken aback by the fact that the majority of women that came on said, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I need an explanation. So don't go away with this, because I am still trying to work out what the thank you is for. Is it that when women get hurt, we don't talk about it? Or what is that?
I think a lot of it is we put on a face. So in the same way that a lot of women, and there's no shade here, in the same place that a lot of women won't go out of the house with a full face of makeup, like they literally put on their face to go out, we do the same thing with our emotions of we're told that everything has to look right, that the story has to be the right story. So for you to come out very publicly and say, and however you said it, right? I made this decision. I made this thing that goes against all of the cultural norms of leaving my male husband, right? Male versus rich female husband. Male.
Rich male.
Rich male.
Money.
Even more.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, you left money? What? Oh my gosh, Gita.
Yeah.
And you took your kids and you took all of this. For a woman to come out and say it publicly, one, and confidently of, I know I made the right decision. And it wasn't this like shy, broken, like you were a badass and came out and owned this. I think most of those women were saying thank you for showing us that, one, we have strength as women. We know it, but it's nice to see it. And two, thank you for showing us that we can talk about it.
So that why can't we? This is the authenticity and the whatever I want to understand. And this is not meant to be an entire show about what the hell I care about, but just because I talk about failure all the time. Mm-hmm. When I coach global megastar women, and it is the same conversation as when I'm coaching. I have a wonderful Tanzanian tomato farmer lady, and I love her and I love all of them. But the things are all the same. Why, as women, are we too afraid to admit failure?
We're taught that we can't.
Why?
Really, honestly, why is because
we don't have time to lie, woman. We've got a limited amount of money. Get on with it.
Most of us live in a patriarchal society where if we admit failure, admit defeat, then we're weaker than we already are, being the quote unquote weaker sex, which goes far back into the millennia of patriarchal bullshit that says that you have to be 100% strong all the time. And it's been so internalized from our ancestors all the way down. Then add in, it's not just patriarchy, right? Then add in colonialism. Then add in all of the other isms that go upon even smaller minorities, not just women at large, right? And we're told in every single possible way, don't fail. If you're too big, you fail. If you're too loud, you fail. If you aren't straight, yep.
Too driven, look at you.
Too driven, too aggressive, you failed.
I'd be interested, but we're going to go for a quick break, but we're going to come back because I'd be interested to know how much shame and guilt you felt around that crash.
Ooh, so much.
Yeah, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. Come on, bring it. Tell me about how much shame and guilt you felt about that.
It was genuinely one of the most horrifying conversations I've ever had to have when I emailed my manager and told her, hey, I need to talk to you now. And she literally called me right then. She was on a plane. She was about to depart in like 7 minutes. She's like, what's happening? And I said, I need to take time off. I don't know what's going on. I don't feel like me. And thank goodness, Dia, my manager, was amazing. She's like, okay, I'll get it done. Log off now. Like, we're done. I will call you in the morning. So that was okay. That felt okay until I talked to her and then had to explain that not only did I not remember everything, I had made mistakes at work, quantifiable mistakes that could have had me written up, could have derailed this very quickly growing career. And then to tell my grandmother the next day, who had raised me, that I was taking a medical leave of absence.
Right. And it's like, what is wrong with you? In our day, you just worked through it.
This woman who had never gone to therapy, had looked down on therapy. She and I have never taken a day off work, never been too sick
to get up.
Nope. You get it done, right?
For you. Ooh,
it was horrifying. And all of the things, I started to go to therapy for the first time. I started to get into all the kind of, at the time I would have called them alternative healing modalities. Now I'm like, yeah, bring on all the shamanism. But started to like have those kind of, oh, I do want to actually see where expressive arts takes me and journaling and all of these things.
You became a weirdo.
I became such a weirdo and it was so much fun. I wouldn't have it any other way. But there is so much, and not even shame of when it happened. When I went back to work 3 months later and all of my colleagues asked me like, hey, is everything okay? It's medical leave. How do you tell them?
What did
I
you say?
A breakdown. For some of the ones that I was close to, I told them what happened. For the other ones, I was like, oh, I had personal things. Because there was so much shame around.
Of course, you can't possibly know. So I want to ask you something else off the back of this. So one of the other things about this is the blame that attaches, right? So I got in that one post, people going, well, it was his money, wasn't it? So you mean you left his, not yours. Oh my God. So you just turned up and expected to keep it. And that's what, and I then thought, well, sod this for a bunch of bananas, you stupid twit. I made another video where I said, excuse me, no. Not only didn't I marry it, I helped create it. Somebody was like, you just were there because you were looking. So I was like, oh, thanks. But that's not really quite what I saw my value as. And I was like, what on earth leads you to think that this terrible thing happened and somehow it's my fault? Because we just naturally blame women for this stuff. Where the heck does that come from? And anyway, by the way, part two of that is if we are blaming them, us all the time, then who the hell wants to be authentic and vulnerable? Screw that for a bunch of bananas. Bananas are featuring quite heavily in the show today.
I like this. This is a good example. Why we do it, again, that internalized, it cannot be the rich man's fault. It cannot be...
rich white man.
Perfect. Even better. Rich white man's fault.
Like stereotyping.
You know, most stereotypes are built on an element of truth, so let's call them out. But it's also when we start to put the blame on the figure of power, which rich white man, the figure of power, it starts to actually unravel the hierarchies in our brain and the frameworks that our entire life has been built upon. So it actually creates this level of unsafety in our bodies, because when we start to have those kind of like existential conversations or thoughts with ourselves of, wait a second now, this person with all of this power who has, you know, the apparent say in things, if they're wrong, what else is wrong?
So you're unraveling infrastructure.
Yes.
You're threatening it. Ooh. I really like that. Does that have a funky name?
I mean, I like to just think of it as the awakening that women are better, but...
we need a funky name for that. We just need a funky name for that. Wow.
And that I think is what it really comes down to. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. And then when we start to have those thoughts and conversations with ourselves, like you said, why would we show up? If we're going to get the blame for it, if we're going to be told however we show up is wrong, it's wrong that I have not a stitch of makeup on my face today. It's wrong that my Fitbit watch is like really old and grungy looking right now. It's wrong that I've cursed and we've sworn and we've had silly examples of things. It's wrong. Then why in the world would we show up like that? Why wouldn't we show up as these perfectly curated versions of ourselves that are going to be met with acceptance?
I did find something very interesting about the Barbie movie. I was one of the few people that hated it.
Okay.
I really disliked it. I looked at this and I thought, we have just weaponized in cartoon form. You're too young to know the Stepford Wives. Do you know what I mean by the Stepford Wives?
I do. Yep.
Okay. So we've cartoonized in acceptable form the Stepford Wives. And for somehow it's ironic. And it isn't. It's painful. It's traumatizing. And it's even worse that the only way we could make this film was by making this version of it, when it's actually every word of it true. Mm-hmm. And then she's the only one that doesn't win an award for it. I mean, I didn't hate them. You know what I mean? But I hated it because it hurt me. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was like, oh my God, it's so amazing. And I'm like, there is something so wrong in my brain because I'm totally out of step with this shit. You know, but I'm always coaching women that their lack of safety is such a deep, unconscious, internal, it's based on external validation. And it's such a deep internal factor that if you don't understand, and it takes so long to explain it, right? That if you don't explain to them and get them to understand that they're unsafe, then they can't actually go on and create their realities in the way that they want it to, in a world that is different to the world that they're occupying, a world where they are respected and confident and trusted and believed by themselves. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. I don't love using this word, but it, I think, is a very apt word for it. We are so brainwashed into thinking that our way of life is the right way of life that it's hard for us to accept that there's any other way to go about it, and that our safety really does not lie in money and security. It does. There's an element of that. We are 3D human beings living in a world based on 3D. But you can still feel incredibly safe inside your body and not have a ton of money.
Oh,
and not know where everything is.
I'm proof of this. Well, because I realized that safety came from me being a very powerful woman. It didn't come from me being a very rich woman, you know? And those are two completely different things. So, okay. So if that's what we're saying, then when we give women the ability to see authenticity and vulnerability and truth in a calm, I manipulate the process as much as I can. I talked about menopause on Monday and I absolutely wore one of the sexiest outfits I could find because I was like, that's how this is going down. So mm-hmm. I'm not placing the conversations. Am I having conversations where I'm going to look like a dog, but I'm also not going to be as made up as I need to be. I'm going to be the version of me I want to be. Mm-hmm. How is it that women can be inspired to do this more? So we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, you need to explain how we're going to do that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So there are a couple different things. Okay. One, we're going to be friends with each other. We're going to
friends. Also do this thing? We victim bond all the time as women, and I hate it. And I've coined a different phrase. Let's ambition bond.
Yes.
Let's ambition bond.
Yes.
Let's just, you come and tell me how amazing you are, and I'll love that for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that in my own life, if that's okay, because I really like that.
Go with it.
It's truly in the same way that those women said thank you when you shared that video, it's that. It's being very vocal about, this is where I'm going. I am building an empire unlike anything else. I am building this community for women who get to show up weird as shit, right? That's what we're doing here. And be vocal about it and support each other. Because when we see everyone else and we see the women around us starting to share themselves vulnerably, safely and vulnerably, and expressing themselves differently, talking about different things, showing up with a different look or any of those things, we see it as evidence in our own brain. Well, if Gita did that, I can. Well, if she's...
My DMs are full of that.
Mm-hmm. We have to be friends with each other because friends will support each other and really say, wow, well, I know her. She's got weird things. Like, she's not perfectly put together. She's got her own issues going on, but she's so
nice. Let's make a little flag and fly that damn thing.
So that's one.
Why do we have to be weird if what we're being is authentic? Why is that weird? It's just different.
It's just different.
What's acceptable?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I want to question that because I don't know why it would have to be seen as being weird when actually it's our reality.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I use weird because it resonates.
Yes. It's different.
It feels good, right? For me, the word different is like off-putting. That phrasing, while I was growing up personally, different meant bad. Whereas weird.
Oh, babe, I got news for you.
I am so detangling all of this. Like, we also have our own phrasing, right? But I think, I think there is that element of understanding the language as well that we use. Like, that's a really good point, is understanding the language, because it is just different.
No, it's personal. So whatever works for you is the one that should work. Mm-hmm. So let me just bring this down a minute again.
Yeah.
what we're actually saying is that, in fact, to live in the world that we live in, there is a huge measure of feeling deeply unsafe at your core unless you conform as a woman. And that in order as a woman to feel safe, you have to conform and follow rules, which is why, for example, and that's because cultural mores are passed down through women. They're not passed down through men. They're passed down through women because we train our children in the things we want our children to be, which is why we have, I say that we have weaponized women's approval. Mm-hmm. Because if a woman calls you a slut, that is, she is the first one that's going to call you a slut. It's a more unlikely for a man to do it. And if a man does it, we can attack. Whereas if a woman does it, it's a judgment, you know? And the way that you're ashamed of yourself. Why would you do that? Or how could, what you were afraid that your grandmother would say. So the judging, not the thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that, that's a, and so we're saying that we automatically feel unsafe if we try and step out of line. Then we're saying be authentic and vulnerable, but how can you do that when it's not safe to be authentic and vulnerable? So is that authentic and vulnerable? No, it bloody isn't. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to two things, and they are very closely tied, is understanding that this is not a fad. I think the online coaching world in particularly likes to trend, defy things. Authenticity is not a trend. It is something that we are neurobiologically created to crave. So it's not a trend. It's not going away. You don't have to be somebody else's version of it. And two, you've got to build that for yourself. It took me, so I took a 3-month leave of absence and I did a lot of work in that 3 months and it was terrible most of the time and I cried every single day. And it's been 5 years. Am I 100% authentic 100% of the time? No.
Well, no, because partly not being like I have a deep vein of frivolity, deep, really profound and stupid with great joy. And those are the days where authentic may not feel like the right thing because frivolous is, but you're authentic in your desire not to be.
Mm-hmm. And it's a journey. Like you today is different than you 5 days ago, not even 5 years ago, days ago. Right. Let yourself, it's building up that safety for yourself. And we can get into that. Like,
but babe, you're saying you have to trust yourself enough to be who you are every day.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so much about language.
Yes.
Interesting. My nose is itching. It must be the truth. Wow. And how the hell do we teach this?
Play. So a lot of it can feel really heavy when we start to talk about, like you said, it's really hard to explain what safety is and how that feels because we each have a very distinct version of what safety feels like in our bodies. And it can be things like therapy and journaling and going through all the shadow work and all of that. And like, absolutely. And a lot of it is play and exploration and giving yourself the opportunity to try different things and to say, that was really fun or wow, that sucked. That was terrible. I would never want to do that again.
Homeless. I've been rich and I've been poor and I like rich way more.
Absolutely. But it's, I think it comes down to a lot of just realizing that there's no end. There's no end to this. And give yourself that compassion and that trust to say, however I'm going about it, as long as I'm intentional with it, it's going to be okay. I've got this.
Trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I did, there's a, you know, we have Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought Maslow was an idiot. So I created Gita's hierarchy of needs. And those needs culminate with self-esteem, self-respect, and self-love. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that those things were the core of your hierarchy of needs, because they're the things that matter to us the most and should matter to us again and again. And you could never step a foot wrong if that's all you ever knew about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But they waver. They come and they go and you have good days. You have bad days and spectacular days, right?
And it means nothing about you.
Yeah, we could do this all bloody day and we can't. How do people find you?
Yep. So my current biggest platform is Instagram. Everything, because I went all in on myself for my business. Everything is my
100% going to follow you on Instagram right now.
So they can connect with me on Instagram or my website. I do a lot of like love note style emails where we get deep into strategy and mindset of all of the feminist rants. And this is how we're going to change the world. And here's how to do it. So those would be the two main ways, Instagram and my website. Everything branded at my name, Chrissy Mellinger.
Love that. That is so cool. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm very grateful.
Thank you. This was, like you said, we could go on for hours and hours talking about all the things. This was really fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was a bit unexpected, but you know, I'm glad we went in whatever the direction is that we went in. That's where we were meant to go.
Yep.
My name is Geeta Sidharob. This is Activate Yourself. And I really hope that this was interesting or illuminating or downright irritating. I'll take that too, because if it was, we should ask ourselves why it was. And you know, being who you are, you're damn the best at that. Stop wanting to be good at something else. Be good at that, because that is the best version of you. I look forward to joining you, or you joining me again next time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidharob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.